Welcome back to Weathering the Storm, a podcast where we strive to weather the storms of life by placing and sustaining an unwavering faith in God. I'm your host, Drew Suttles, and today we are recording episode 19 of season 9 of Weathering the Storm. Amazing to think that we are three episodes away from closing out this season. It's been a wonderful journey for me to go through the major prophets with you, and I hope that this has been an enjoyable experience for you as well. I hope it's been a good study for you. And we are continuing our study of the book of Daniel, which of course will take us through the end of the season. In our last episode, we discussed the content of Daniel chapter 1. And today we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 3. And this is one of the most familiar passages in the book of Daniel. And I'm excited to study it with you today. So if you have your Bibles in a place where you can open them, I encourage you to go with me to Daniel chapter 3 as we study this great chapter together. As you're opening to that text, just a reminder that the Weathering the Storm podcast is on the Scattered Abroad Network. This is a network of podcasts that is overseen by the elders of the Forest Hill Church of Christ, in that this is a work of the Memphis School of Preaching. And so thankful to be associated with the school and be associated, of course, with this network. We're grateful for your support. And if you haven't already, we encourage you to like, subscribe to our master feed and to leave us a review, a rating. And that helps us to that when people go to search for this kind of content, the more ratings we have, the more reviews we have, the more likely individuals will see this and be able to listen, and hopefully it can be helpful for them. And so, again, we thank you for listening. I personally thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope and pray this episode, this season, this study will help you in your walk with the Lord. And as the podcast aims to do, will help us to weather the storms of life as they come our way. So with those thoughts in mind, let's go to our text in Daniel chapter 3. One thing that I want to mention as we begin this text is that Daniel chapter 2 and verse 4, the latter half of verse 4, all the way through chapter 7 and verse 28 is written in Aramaic. Now you might say, well, why is that important? Well, because that makes an official record of the court. And so what we're about to study here in Daniel chapter 3 and what we're going to study in our next episode, Lord willing, in Daniel chapter 6, is going to be an official record of the court. And again, that's something that's important because Nebuchadnezzar recorded the truth about God in official records. This is for everybody to hear and everybody to understand what has taken place. And so that makes it really impactful to think about. So with those thoughts in mind, let's look at the text. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, administrators, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. In verse 4, it says, a herald cried. I want to make a quick mention of that word herald and what it means. The word herald means a proclaimer. A person who announces important news to other people. Now, when you think about a gospel preacher today, he is a herald for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's the idea of preaching. And so here he's heralding a message. Notice in verse 4 of Daniel chapter 3, he says, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. You know, I can't help but think about the ego trip that Nebuchadnezzar was on. To think, number one, he's going to have this golden image made of himself that's going to be so massive. He's going to dedicate this image to himself, basically, and then command the people to bow down and worship. And if they don't, it's not like they're going to be thrown into prison, but rather they're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. So verse 7 says, "At that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." And so in verses 1 through 7, it's very clear, you know, of what is taking place. We know where Nebuchadnezzar's coming from. We know the situation that is taking place here. And it gives us a good background, a good introduction, you know, into what we're going to study. Now, with that in mind, let's look to verses 8 through 18. The Bible says, "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.'" Verse 12, they say, "There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you." And of course, the reason is because they are paying due regard to the God of heaven. "They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Now, it's interesting to see how Nebuchadnezzar acted. The Bible says, "Nebuchadnezzar in rage and fury." Now, the word rage in the Hebrew means wrath, a feeling of intense anger that does not subside, often on an epic scale. And so you can picture just how mad he was. It says, "in a rage and a fury." Now, when we are in a rage and a fury, when we find ourselves, you know, in a fit of rage, in a fit where we are just so angry, you know, we don't make the best decisions when that takes place. And that is absolutely a storm that we face sometimes when we get so frustrated. But notice what he did. In rage and fury, when he's not thinking like he should, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" In other words, am I hearing this correctly? Are you telling me that you're not going to bow down? You're not going to keep my command? I'm the king. Now look at verse 15. He says, "If you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image I have made, well, good. It's what you're supposed to do. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And then don't miss this question. "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" May I suggest to you that that's what this entire chapter is about? In fact, this is what the whole book of Daniel is about. Who is God? And why should I serve him? It points to the sovereignty of God. It points to the power of God. It points to really the love and compassion of God and how he delivers and cares for his people. But that one statement right there is what this whole scene and the whole book is about. Who is the God who will deliver you? With that thought in mind, let's look at verse 16, 17, and 18. This is one of the most powerful passages in all the Old Testament and all of the Bible, and certainly it's applicable to weathering the storm. Here's how you do it. Now, they knew what was up, they were up against. They knew the storm. They're looking at the storm head on. If we can personify the storm, this storm of rage and fury that is in Nebuchadnezzar's eyes, you know, they saw it. They heard it in his voice. They have to make a decision what they're going to do, but may I suggest this? They've already made their decision. Their decision was made long ago that they're going to be faithful to the God of heaven. They had already made their minds up. And so verse 16 says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter.'" What a powerful statement. You know, who is the God who delivered you from my hands? They said, that question, we're not even going to answer that, okay? Because the God who we serve is the true God of heaven. Look at verse 17. "If that is the case," what case? Well, if it is the case that you're going to throw us into a fiery furnace. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. Verse 17 is pointing to the ability that God has, the ability to deliver, the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, Ephesians 3:20. That's verse 17. But verse 18, look at this statement of faith. But if God chooses not to deliver me from this storm, if God chooses to allow us to go into a fiery furnace and be burned up, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You talk about boldness and courage. You talk about faith. Look no further than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who weathered the storm by placing an unwavering faith in God. This episode is really what this entire podcast is about. And what a great example we have with these three young men away from home, forced to be made eunuchs, you know, in the situation where they're in captivity and they're face to face with the king. At this point in time, probably the most powerful man on the planet. And yet they said, we don't serve your gods. We're not going to worship the gold image. Even if that means we have to die in a fiery furnace, we're not going to do it. And so from verse 16, we're reminded of the fact that it hasn't hit home yet with Nebuchadnezzar. He's not understanding something, you know. He's not realizing that there is only one true God, and he's not him. So when we think about this, I want you to notice, number one, that there is a response. And the first response is, we have no need to answer you. You know, we're not going to say anything to that. But then second, I want you to notice the reassurance. When you think about this, the reassurance is in verse 17. You know, God is able to deliver us, and he'll deliver us. We have no doubt that he has the power to deliver us. That's not an issue. So there's the reassurance that even if they are thrown, that God is absolutely able to do it. But then notice the resolve. The resolve is verse 18. The resolve is that, okay, if he decides to allow us to die, we're not going to let go of our integrity. Because we believe that God has the power to deliver us. And if he decides not to, there's a reason for it. And we trust him all the way. The Bible teaches us that God is in the delivering business. From Daniel 3:17, I want you to notice, and if you take notes and to take from Josh Walker's podcast, if you mark in your Bible, to put down 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. There the Apostle Paul, writing to the brethren at Corinth, speaks about God who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. When you look at that and break it down, I want you to notice this is past, present, and future deliverance. God has delivered, God does deliver, and God will deliver. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believe that. They believe that with all of their hearts, that their God, the God of heaven, had the ability to deliver them. And this is answering that question, who is the God who deliver you from my hands? Well, to answer your question, Nebuchadnezzar, the God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us. You know, throughout Scripture, we have this fact of God delivering his people. I'm reminded of David, 1 Samuel 17:37. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Why was David at such a young age? To kind of compare him with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was it about their resolve? They believed in God. They trusted in God. They had reason to believe. They had evidence. You know, look, check God's track record. He's always been there for his people. And so he has delivered, he does deliver, and he will deliver. And I love that from here from Daniel chapter 3. And then also, when we talk about the resolve there in verse 18, you know, let it be known that we do not serve other gods. They knew that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't playing around. You know, they knew that he was legitimately upset and that he was going to throw them in the fire. But they had faith Because they trusted God. They were able to weather the storm because of their faith and trust in Almighty God. Luke 22:42. Here's Jesus in the garden. How does he come to the point to say, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done"? That's faith and trust, isn't it? He trusted his Father to know, okay, this is the plan. This has always been the plan, even from eternity. Ephesians 3:9-11. And so I'm going to trust in my Father. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, the model prayer as he's teaching them, he says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will, not my will, but your will. We're instructed in 1 John 5 and verse 14 to pray according to God's will. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then what about Acts 5:29, coming to life, and Daniel 3:18, we ought to obey God rather than men. So much to unpack from just three verses. But what a great lesson it is for us. Who is the God who deliver you from my hands? It's the God of heaven. The same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God that you and I serve today. And he can deliver us from what we're going through as well. We need to have faith. We need to trust so we can weather the storm. Let's move on to the text of verses 19 through 25. Now, after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said this, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, as you can imagine, was not very pleased. He didn't say, "Oh, okay, well, that's great." No, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed. If you've ever seen somebody look at you and then the expression changes, there's that look. That's what is being described here by the Holy Spirit. That Nebuchadnezzar was so mad that when they said this, it just went to another level. And so he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Now, what does that mean? Well, 7 is the number of completion. So the point is, you make it as hot as it can possibly be. And how do we know that? Well, when you look at verse 20 and 21, it says, he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men who were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. But verse 22 has always stuck with me. It says, therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That gives us an idea of just how hot this was, just how serious this is. The men that threw them in there died. And then verse 23 says, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, aren't you glad that the text doesn't end in verse 23? Aren't we thankful that it doesn't end there? You know, we could really go all over the Bible with that, couldn't we? Aren't you thankful that it doesn't end, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that's it? We're done for? Aren't you thankful that Romans 6:23 has a part B to it? And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That may be something I turn into a sermon series one day, because so many examples are flooding right now, thinking about this idea of, man, what if it stopped there? But it didn't. Probably the greatest example, what if Jesus died and didn't come out of the grave? Well, according to 1 Corinthians 15, our faith would be in vain. There'd be no reason to be studying right now at all. So the idea is, and I'm thankful for this, the account doesn't end in verse 23. The very next verse, verse 24, says, King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men? And they answered and said, true, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, we don't know exactly if this is the second person of the Godhead there. The word like means they could see that this was not just a normal individual. This is deity. Could it have been that God sent an angel to be with them? Of course, just like in Daniel 6, Could it be that this is the second person of the Godhead? Absolutely. But what is so impactful about this is Nebuchadnezzar could see it. Not only did he see the four men loose, but he saw them walking in the midst of the fire. You know, there's passages in the Bible that remind us of that. Psalm 91, 3 through 9, for example. But then perhaps the most powerful is Isaiah 43, 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Well, in a very literal sense, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were a living testament to Isaiah 43, 2. You shall walk in the fire and not be burned. It's exactly what happens. And what an amazing testament to God. Again, that's what this is all about. Why should we trust God? Why should we have an unwavering faith in God? Because God is in the delivering business, and God is going to protect His people. As we close out this study, let's look at verses 26 through 30 that we bring this text to a close, and we'll look at, of course, some points of application. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. What a change. Come out and come here. You know, earlier he said, who is the God who can deliver you? Now he knows. The Most High God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Now check this out. I love this part. The satraps, the administrators, the governors, the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The Holy Spirit goes on to describe just how perfect this was. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. If you've ever been to a bonfire, and you've worn blue jeans, and you've worn a hoodie, you know, you come home and you leave that in your truck or your car or whatever, it's going to smell like fire. You don't have to get in it. You can just be walking around it. These men were thrown into the midst of a fire that was burning as hot as possible, so hot that it killed the men who threw them in there, and there was no power of that fire on their bodies. The hair wasn't even singed. There wasn't even the smell of smoke. This was a genuine, powerful miracle to prove that the God of heaven is the one true God. Again, the fire had no power. Isaiah 43, 2, you know, the flame shall not scorch you. But what about Hebrews 11, 34? There's a statement there about those who quench the violence of fire. And no doubt we could put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that category. Now, did they do this on their own? Was this their ability? No. But it was their faith in God that allowed them to weather the storm, allowed them to come through the fire on the other side. And that brings us to verse 28, as well as 29 and 30. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made an ash heap. Why? Because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. It's so amazing to me that God has done this time and time again. And the more we study this, the more we look at these examples, it should strengthen our faith. You know, Romans 15:4 teaches us that the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This is a passage that gives me hope. You know, that I'm going to face storms, I'm going to face fires in my life, but if I'll put my faith and trust in God, He can deliver. He has delivered, He does deliver, and He will deliver. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. That statement, because there is no other God who can deliver like this, reminds us of Daniel chapter 6 and verse 27. Lord willing, we'll get to that in our next episode next week. That God delivers and he rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And he delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. The same God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the same God can deliver us as we go through the trials of life. Let's think about, as we close out, some application. Let's think about the result of the miracle. You know, no doubt this is a miracle. Miracles were amazing things that took place that God did, and there was a purpose behind that. Mark 16:20, miracles were to confirm the word. Certainly miracles were to point to the power and awesome ability of God and to glorify him. But here, as we think about the result of the miracle, number one, the king revered God. He revered him. That there was a great respect. There was a great reverence. That Nebuchadnezzar had his question answered. Who is the God that can deliver? Oh, now I know. Blessed be the God of heaven, the Most High God. And so the king revered God. Number two, the king recognized God's care for his children. He said, blessed be the God who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Now, if a heathen king can understand that God cares for his children, shouldn't we, as his children, recognize God's care for us? Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. We should be comforted and encouraged by this great account in the Old Testament. So the king revered God, he recognized God's care for his children, but then third and finally, the king respected the faith of the young men. He respected that they yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. There was such a great respect for that that he promoted them in the province of Babylon. You know, people may laugh at you and mock you and even hate you for having faith in God, but ultimately, if we'll stay the course, they'll respect you for it. But even if they don't, if you have approval in the eyes of God, that's all that really matters. If we please God, it doesn't matter who we displease. But if we displease God, it doesn't matter who we please. We need to make sure, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we have this kind of faith, that we trust that God will deliver us, that he's going to be with us, and everything is going to work out for his ultimate glory and our ultimate good if we will stay the course and keep our faith and keep our eyes fixed on him. I'm so thankful that we had this opportunity today to study through Daniel chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters, and a great reminder of God's power and God's love for his people. And I hope and pray that this will be an encouragement to you, especially if you find yourself going through a storm right now in your life, you find yourself going through a fiery furnace full of trials. Keep the faith. Keep trusting in God. And this will absolutely help you to weather the storm. I thank you so much for listening. And next week, Lord willing, we'll study from Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the Lion's Den. I can't wait to study that with you. Until next time, may God bless you as you weather the storm.